I'm going to walk by faith that that thing is on. Okay. I'm thankful to be here with you at Brentwood Hills. It is 6 months shy. It will be 40 years since I was here. It's the only time that I was here. It was 40 years ago when I was in college in Stephenville. We came up to bring Sister Terry Honeycutt to meet her parents here. And we went to church here on Sunday. An amazing thing happened besides the Lord blessing us to have church. But I was out there in the kitchen, and Brother Sammy Box said, "Brother Sorrells wants to speak to you." And I did not know Brother Sorrells. I would later find out about him. But he was 99 years old in a wheelchair, and he wanted to talk to me, and I sat down, and he said, "You're one of those Montgomerys." And I said, "Okay. You know, he does know who I am." He said, "Yes, I know you. I know your dad. I knew your granddad, and I preached with your great-grandfather," which is when I did the time, the math, that would have been the 1920s that he was going back to. This was in 1982. So had it been 60 years that he had in memory of preaching with my great-grandfather, Elder Tom Fannin. Now, I was just young and in college, and it's one of those things that, well, we want to do over, yeah. And that's the one, that's one of the things I would like to have a do over. Like the, there is probably about 1,500 questions I would like to have asked Brother Sorrells. But I've never forgotten that, and it has impressed me more as time goes on. Glad to be back. Glad to be here. Glad to be with all of you. Glad Brother Ward is here amongst you, pastoring you. Brother Ward, Brother Mark are dear, beloved friends of mine. We've grown up together. We've known each other. We love one another. It was my heart's desire to have been at their mother's funeral this past Friday. But due to the restrictions, with limited people who could be there, that I was not able to go. But I did watch it on the live stream. Now, y'all need to understand about these live stream funerals that they have four different camera angles. So I could tell what every one of y'all were doing during that entire service. I had every angle on all of you, which was fun, but I wanted to be and hear the service and pay my respects to Sister Margaret, who I love dearly. And I enjoyed it. I thought the Lord blessed y'all at that service. Even I, in my office at home, I felt the Spirit there. If I felt it there, I can imagine that y'all felt it even more there in Houston. And I know that I was comforted after that service. I felt better after that. Now, my brother, Mike, who delivered the sermon, there's no reason for you to tell him that I enjoyed the message. It will not serve any good at all for you to tell him that I thought he did a wonderful job. But when he announced the text that he was going to use, he said that this, you might think that this was an unusual text to use at a funeral. And when he quoted the text, I thought to myself, he doesn't really know how providential coincidence is going on with that text that he quoted. Because the next to the last sermon I remember Elder J. A. Rowell Jr. preaching was on that text. And it was a wonderful sermon. Brother Mike quoted there in Hebrews about Joseph's desire. And I'm not going to start there, but Joseph's desire to, when the Jews came back to the promised land, that they would carry his bones and bury them there. Now, Brother Rao, in the sermon that I remember him preaching, Brother Rao began in the book of Genesis with Joseph's actual words, and that's where I'd like to turn to you this morning. It got my mind to thinking about that sermon that Brother Rao preached about, and this is the 50th chapter of Genesis. Got me thinking about that and how I remember growing up in the Primitive Baptist. I heard a lot of sermons on this. And then in 1991, I guess it was, when I heard Brother J.A. preach it, that was the last time I remember anybody preaching on this. And I don't know why. And then until my brother Mike used that by providential coincidence, which means it's just providence, at Sister Margaret's, his wife's funeral. But I want to read to you next in Genesis chapter 50 in the 24th verse. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. That's where Brother Rao began to preach. I'll never forget it. I wonder, though, why was it important to Joseph that they carry his remains to Canaan's land? He did not want his body to stay in Egypt. But you may wonder, well, why should it matter? He'll be with the Lord, as Brother Ward preached to us. Why should it matter to him? It is interesting, in the 49th chapter of Genesis, that Jacob, Joseph's father, died. And Jacob told Joseph, do not bury me here in Egypt. Okay? But you carry me and you bury me where my mother and father, Isaac and Rebekah, were Leah, my wife, and my grandparents, Abraham and Sarah, where they're buried. You don't bury me here. You take me up there. Yeah. Okay? And Joseph received permission. And Joseph and all his brethren and a large company of Egyptians went up from Egypt to that place in Canaan, and there they buried Jacob, the father of Joseph. So it was important to Jacob. It became important to Joseph. And I've often wondered that when Joseph went back home. I don't read where Joseph had ever been back home until then. All right? The last time he was there, his brothers sold him into slavery. And he hadn't been back since. And I wonder if the nostalgia or the memories the feelings of his home, of that place, his heritage, no doubt affected him in that he felt a longing. If I can't live here, then bury me here. And I want as much as possible for every part of me to be right where it belongs. Okay? Now his soul and spirit, when he died, went where it belonged. But he wanted his body, though it could, would not go then, but it will be at least resting in the land that God gave his people. And there he would dwell in that sense among his people. And may I say that there is a longing for us in our hearts to dwell among our people. I remember the Shunammite woman when Elisha gave her an opportunity to ask anything of the Lord, and it would be granted to her. And her answer was this: I dwell among my own people. You can't give me anything better than that. I've got all I need. That's why Primitive Baptists need to meet. That's why a church is called an assembly. Live stream is good, but it can't replace this. Yeah. It can't replace, because God made this. God built this. Now, I wish I could re-preach word for word that sermon Brother J.A. preached that day. Man, y'all would like it too. Brother Ryle was a father in the ministry to me. Brother Ryle's message that he brought basically was going home. That's what he preached about. Well, let's just follow this for a little bit. I won't turn there, but in Exodus chapter 13, 400 years later, Moses took the bones of Joseph. And they went on that trip from Egypt to the promised land. But then in the book of Joshua, after they had possessed the land, they come back. The Jews had resettled the land that God gave them. We read this. And the book of Joshua, the very last chapter, that would be chapter 24. And in the 32nd verse, it says, "And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became an inheritance of the children of Joseph." Thus, Joseph's desire and his request so strongly that he demanded this, he commanded it, he made them swear to him, "You will do this." And they did. And then we read where Brother Mike was. This is in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, in the 22nd verse, Paul's statement regarding this. He writes, "By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Paul said, this is a statement of faith. Remember what Joseph said. God will surely lead you out of here. My friends, I think implied in that Don't get too much at home in Egypt. We're not here for very long. It may be good now. We may be in prosperity now. That ain't going to last. And my friends, don't get too much at home here in this world. There will be good days. There will be bad days. But there will be trouble on every side. I guarantee you that. That is a scripture. There will be besetting sins. There will be troubles and problems. There will be disappointments. And you will be your own worst disappointer. It's going to happen. You live long enough, it happens. It doesn't get any better either. You say, that really makes me feel great, Brother Dave. I'm so glad I came. Yeah. I needed some cheering up, and you sure aren't doing it. I know. But I'm not having a bad day. I'm having a good day. I'm in the best place on earth right now. I'm in the joy of the whole earth in Mount Zion. Right now, that's where we're at right now. How can you be sad right now? Amen. If you're sad, then you don't know where you're at. You say, well, I'm on this physical location. I mean, in a spiritual sense, you're in the kingdom of God. Amen. You're in the best place. You're in the best place. But we are troubled on every side. And in this world, Jesus said, ye shall have tribulations. Don't get too much at home here. Don't think that the good's going to last or the bad's going to last. It will end. Things change. Things go back. Things cycle around. That's life. But God will lead us out of here. As Brother Ward prayed for his sweet mother, take her. Yes, he did. That was the best day of Sister Margaret's life. Amen. It was the best thing that ever happened to her. The best day of her life began on the last day in this world. And things are only going to get better. I wish we could say that about us in this life, but we can't. Our best day hasn't happened yet. Joseph said, God will surely lead you out of here. Take me with you. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. We're all going to go on a trip. Take me with you. Aren't you glad we don't have to worry about being left behind? Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that there's room for every one of God's people? And in our ark, which is Jesus Christ, that we've been placed in. But yet, I want every much as in me is right now to be where the Lord is. That's my desire. That's my desire. That's the best thing you can do in your life. Is to dwell in the house of the Lord. And you'll never be sorry if you do. But this statement here of faith is this. That you take me with you. Don't let my bones remain here. And in that, Joseph, if I can find the words to put it. The last comparison of Joseph to Christ rings true in this statement. In this act, that Joseph's bones didn't remain in Egypt is a great type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In that his bones did not remain in the earth. Amen. But Jesus didn't need anybody to bring them to him. He went and got them himself. He says, I have power
to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again. He didn't need anybody on Resurrection Sunday. You know it? Matter of fact, nobody was there anyway. Well, they had two guards there. They ran out of fear. He didn't need us. He doesn't need us. He didn't need anybody there to acknowledge that it happened. It happened. He's not going to leave any one of us down here either. Because may I say, we are the bones of Christ. We're the body of Christ. None of us will be remained. When he gathers us, he's taking us all. He took Sister Margaret's soul and spirit. She's up there right now. Her body remains. Her body decays, but she's up there. But he'll fashion it again like his glorious body, and they will be reunited. And so the Apostle Paul says this. I'm so glad y'all are Texas Primitive Baptist compliant here at Brentwood. You've got a clock back there. You know, that's in the Articles of Faith in every old Baptist, Primitive Baptist church in the state of Texas. Now, folks out of Texas, they're out of order. They're in disorder. Now, y'all almost called foul this morning when there wasn't any coffee. But I had coffee already. But if you didn't have that clock back there, I was gonna call you on that. But we're fine now. We're fine. You know, Brother Mark remembers down there the Church of Corpus Christi. They had a clock there and they had a clock there. That way everybody else can see when he's going over the time. You know, because the Holy Ghost works only in 45-minute increments. That's just the law of the Holy Spirit, right? I don't hear any amens. Well, it does with me. You know, I get too hungry. I really do. So you don't ever have to worry about me going over the time. And someone said something about Mexican food, so that's another good situation. All right, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and in the first verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says this, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Paul's making a comparison, and if I may put it to you like this, these bodies that we have now, Paul's calling a tabernacle. All right? It's a tent. It's temporary. How many of you like to go camping? I don't. You go camping, have a great time. I will not go with you. You know why? Because I hate sleeping in a tent. And I'll go day trip. The Lord made Holiday Inn for a good reason. All right? All right. But at any rate, I don't like living in a tent. But you know what? I'm living in one right now. This body is temporary. But he said we've got a building. We've got a house, not a tent. A house. A house is permanent. I like that scripture of Abraham. He said he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You mean a city that's got a foundation? This one does. That's the eternal city. That's where Abraham was looking. Abraham wasn't looking for anything on this world. He's looking to the next one. And he rejoiced to see a day of Christ. And he saw it and was glad. All right, but we've got a building. We've got a future state. We've got a better place. We've got a better existence. We've got a better life. And that's eternal. God made. That God made. We had nothing to do with it. God's not following up on anything that we left him, that we obligated him to do. This is all by the grace of God. God made this, and it's eternal in the heavens. And I agree with Brother Ward. I don't see any difference between eternal and everlasting. Personally, we're not going to get into that, Brother Mark. But at any rate, yeah. But it is eternal. We've got it. He said, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven."
If so, being that clothed, being clothed, we shall not be found naked.
We groan. Paul talked about in the 8th chapter of Romans. He says that the creature groaneth within itself, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Job said, I would not live always. Amen. Amen. I don't want to live in this world forever. I'm looking forward to something better than this. I want to join those people, those happy souls that are up yonder. What a place, what a time, what an existence that they see the very face of Christ. That they're not bothered by the trials and tribulations. That doubts and all the things that beset us are completely gone. And that there's not even a time, there's nothing inhibiting them or preventing them. And in their enjoyment of what it must be like with truly with Christ. I don't know. I get close. I don't even know if I get close. I get a feeling sometimes, especially when I'm in church, that I know that He's there. What an amazing thought that is to be sitting in a building and that you feel God is among us. He's walking among us. I feel His presence. I feel the Spirit. It's an amazing thing. I was sitting in my office at home in San Antonio watching that funeral service, and I felt the Spirit there with me. You can't get that anywhere, friends. And there's no explanation except that it is of God. And how do you know that? How do you know that it's the Spirit? Can you color it? Can you draw it? The only one that ever actually saw the Spirit was John the Baptist. He saw it. After Jesus came out of the water, he said, I see it. It's coming down like a dove. He's the only man that's ever saw the physical Holy Spirit. I don't know. But I feel it. But I can't describe it. I can't tell you. All I know is when I'm better off when I'm there. All right. And so I've grown though because these meetings end. And trouble is waiting for me. And life just keeps going on. And I keep getting older. I can't stop it. I can't. I used to be a young guy 39 years ago. Last time I was here, I was young. I didn't even think about it. I didn't say to myself, I am so young. I am so glad. I'm so good looking. Wow. Isn't it great to be me? Hallelujah. You know? No. I'm just, duh. Here I am talking to R.B. Sorrows. Duh. You know? This guy knows my preached with my granddad 60 years ago. Didn't even dawn on me to ask him about it. To hear about it. No? Where are we going to eat lunch? That's all I thought about. Where are we going? That's all I thought about back then. And now older, and when I can like really appreciate it, I'm too tired. You know, I get too, and all these things happen. But yet. Oh, wow. Just to be close to the Lord and to be close to each other. And I groan. Oh, and it's not a groaning. Maybe it is of pain, but it's a longing. I just want to be with the Lord all the time and just leave it behind. In this we groan. You know, Sister Margaret wondered why she was here. We got several grandchildren of Brother Morris Nallen with us today. He said the same thing. In fact, the last few years of his life, that's all he talked about. He called me on the phone one time and I said, how you doing, Poppy? He says, I just don't know why I'm here. I just wish I'd just go on and be with the Lord. And I said, well, Papa, I wish you'd just hurry up and die there. I said, you know, we've been planning your funeral for 3 years. I'm ready to have it. Will you just hurry up and die? He goes, I'm working on it. Now, you want to know one of the greatest funerals I've ever attended? It's Brother Morris Nallen.
The last thing Brother Morris told me, he said, "Son, you're in charge. Don't mess it up." He says, "I want it to be like church." And we had church that day. All right? Now, that's very, very close to heaven. That's the closest to heaven you'll get right there. And I mean, there's sometimes even in church where you're lifted up above the norm. Like we were at Papa's funeral or at other meetings. And that time stands still. And you forget about it. You forget about all the other things. And you're not even aware of what's going on, except I am savoring this moment so much. That's what I've grown. To feel that all the time. Have you ever said to yourself, "I am sick and tired of having great, wonderful meetings"? Have you ever said, "I am tired of that great preaching? That singing was too good. I got tired of it." No. Sorry. You did say there was a microphone up here. All right. I think that's the Spirit saying, "Move on. Time to go." All right. Verse 4, Paul says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened." Whew, there's a lot of preaching in that right there. It's a burden. It's a burden to be in this tabernacle. "Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath also given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident that knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Now, I'm going to, even though he's closing the Bible, that means the sermon's over. But that's a foretaste of glory divine, that the sermon, it will be over. You ever go to someone's house? You're visiting someone's house. And they say, "Make yourself at home." Right? Now that's something you've got to make yourself do there, don't you? Because you're not at home. So you got to make yourself at home. That's the way we are in this body now. We just got to make ourselves at home. But we're not at home. Home is a wonderful, comforting, lovely place. Home is a place that's yours. It's a place that you know and understand, and where you are understood and known. Home is a place where there are the only surprises are happy ones. Home is a place that, "This is where I dwell, and this is where I will stay." Back a long time ago, the old folks would say, "I don't live at this address." You know what they said? They said, I stay at this address. You know what's implied in that? I'm just staying there. But I'm going to live on some sweet day. So friends, we're staying. But we're going to live up yonder. May God bless you. Amen. Is my prayer.